Lord God, as I come before you and these, your people, I invoke, O God, your presence to be with me. I invoke you, O God, to cleanse away all of the stress and strain that I have carried through this week around the words you might desire I speak, and that you, O God, refresh, renew, restore me in this very moment. That what I say, O God, is what you desire not only the people of God to hear, but also for me to hear. So God, come. Come, Holy Spirit, in the midst of this time of worship and this time of sharing. That each of us might hear a word that is meant for us. That each of us might find a direction that we are to go. That each of us might find grounding in the work of your world. For this, O God, is your humble servant's prayer. Amen. Good morning, church. I have to tell you that this message this morning, it's been ruminating in my spirit and in my presence all week, and I didn't even know that it was there. You see, on Wednesday morning, we hosted the ECRA clergy group here at the church that afternoon. And as we were getting ready to welcome them into our space, and Pastor Catherine and I had this wonderful meal set out for them. And then the leader of our group walked over to me and said, "And by the way, Michael, you have to give us a questioning word for the day." Now, I knew how to do a blessing, but I wasn't sure what that meant. I wasn't sure what was the question that I was supposed to bring that we might begin our conversation. And it was a way that we would listen to the question, and it would also be a way for us to introduce ourselves. But I just want to stick with the question, because what came to my spirit, what came to my mind that day was, where are you finding grace? Where are you finding grace? And I don't know where it came from, but I know where it came from. It came from the Lord. And as I was leaving that meeting, and as folks were beginning to share their experiences about where they had found grace, it continued to resonate with me all day on Wednesday. And I was wrestling with the title of the message all week long. And so I went to Jackie on Thursday, and I said, "Jackie, I don't know if this title is going to stick, what I put down. So we may have to rearrange it and change it." And all day Thursday, I kept going back and forth. And then Friday morning, it hit me. Looking for grace. Looking for grace. And in so looking at that, something else the Lord placed before me. You see, I don't know how many of you know, what is March 22nd in the world? Does anybody know? I didn't either, so don't feel like I don't know, wasn't aware of this. But March 22nd is World Water Day. World Water Day. And we all know that everyone needs water. But you might be able to get away from a lot of things. You can go without a little food. You can scrimp down on the clothing. But you definitely need water. Water is an essence of how we survive. And it's a thing that we talk about so often around the world. But then a little less than 5 years ago, in this nation, we would find a city seeking grace. We'd find a location desiring fresh drinking water. I'm talking about Susan's hometown of Flint, Michigan. A little over 5 years ago, Flint, because of economics, because of cost savings, because of money, because of making themselves look good, because of votes, the leaders of the city of Flint decided that they would change their water source from the Detroit River, which I know well, being a Michigander. But they would change their water from getting it from the Detroit River to getting it from the Flint River. And in that moment, in that change, in that transition, the people of Flint would begin to suffer from the poor water from which they received. Water that was filled with lead. Water that when their children would bathe, and when they would bathe, they would begin to break out in their skin. Water that when they began to drink it, they would begin to get sick and sicker and sicker. And the more they would complain about needing a sense of grace, the more the politicians and the leaders would find excuses to why they could not give them water. The more that they would stand up and say there's something wrong with the color of our water because it looks a little orangey brown, it's not clear anymore, they would find an excuse and say, it's okay, you can drink it. The more that the children would be brought into hospitals and because they were sick, they would be told, no, it's okay, it must be something else that is causing the illness. They would not find grace. Grace was not offered to them. Rather, grace was denied them. Why? Because of economics. Why? Because they weren't important. Why? Because they were not seen as being true, a true calling of who God had made them. And so therefore, they couldn't be telling the truth. It had to be something else. It could not be the water from Flint. And so time and time again, months would pass before anyone would even begin to listen to them. A year would pass before the government would even start to think about, well, maybe we might want to have someone come in. But even then, what they did was they would bring in folks who would tell them what they wanted to hear. They made sure that they got what they wanted, which is to continue to get the water from the Flint River, because it was a tremendous millions of dollars in cost savings at the expense of the lives of the people of that community. That came across my desk on Friday as I was sitting here thinking about this sense of grace and how grace is not always easily given, how grace is not always provided. In the midst of this Lenten season, how grace can be a word that we say, but we do not live. How easy a government can resort to what is going to bring them power and authority, what is going to bring them financial gain, what is going to make them look good rather than what is right, what is just, and what is true. And so this March 22nd, World Water Day, Flint will be receiving and did receive, once again, thousands of bottles of water. Why? Because the water ain't right yet. They are still needing grace. They are still desiring to have something that is a basic fulfillment of all of us, that we would have clean drinking water. At the expense of money, prestige. This is all this was about. They are still today, and almost 5 years later, they are still looking for grace. And so we have our passage this morning, a passage where we talk from the parable. For those of us who are lectionary readers, you would note that the lectionary has us reading Luke 1 through the entire piece of 13. But today we're focusing simply on the parable. The parable of this barren fig tree. And I want you to think about this in context to what we have just talked about in to Flint water. The gardener is met by the owner. The owner in this particular case is the person in power and authority. And the owner comes out and he looks over at this fig tree. And he says to his gardener, who is the worker, who is the person the least, and he says to him, cut it down. In other words, that tree is wasting my soil. It's not helping my economic plight. In essence, if it's not bearing fruit that I can eat or that I can sell, it's not worthy of spending any time on it. I just want you to go over and just cut it down. We don't need it anymore. It's wasting space. It will take up more time for you in the long run anyway, so just cut it down. In essence, get rid of it. And the gardener says, listen, if you just let me offer grace to it, if you just let me put a little manure around it. Now, for the farmers in the house, and I grew up in farm country, well, manure is great when it's spread out, but not when it's piled up. Know what I'm saying? But he says, if you just let me spread manure around it, let me offer it grace for a year. Now, notice what he says. He says for a year, not for today, not for tomorrow, not for a short time, because I want you to know something about grace. Grace can't be offered in short bursts and never followed up. Grace is not something where you just go and sit with someone because they've lost a loved one and then you never see them again for the next year. That is not grace. You might have been there for the moment, but you weren't there for the long haul. The gardener says, give me a year. Not 6 months, not 3 months, not 2 days. Give me a year. And if in the year something doesn't miraculously happen, if it doesn't change, then you can cut it down. How would grace look like if you and I were graceful with someone not for the moment, but for the year? How would it look like if we offered grace to someone over a long term rather than the short term? What would it look like if we had offered grace in a way in Flint where if we'd stepped up to the plate day one, their water would not be still contaminated as it is today? Grace is not something that you can offer for the short term. But notice what he says. He says, you know what? I will take care of this tree for a year. And if you're still unhappy, then you can cut it down. Now that might seem troubling to some. That might seem disturbing, but I do want you to understand that a gardener, a true gardener, knows what he's talking about. That if he nourishes the ground, if he tends to the tree, if he goes out and sits with that fig tree and just mows sometime with it and just put the manure around it on a regular basis, that the soil around that tree will nourish it and reacquaint it with that tree. That tree will then be able to its roots to reach down and to grab what it needs, and it will be restored. It will be restored. Where are we? Where are we offering grace? Where are we looking for grace? Because it's not always that we can offer it. Sometimes we need grace for ourselves. Sometimes we've been on a rough side of the mountain. We've had a tough struggle. Life has not been good, and we need grace for ourselves. At other times, we are called to share the very grace we have received. We are called to share that grace with others. In other words, thank you next. What is next? What is next for us in a time of Lent where we are seeing our world in such disparity? Where are we speaking up where we are continually seeing that violence is continuing to happen on our city streets? We're in the midst of an election. Look out now. And we got to make some choices. Where is grace in the midst of what you do politically? Where is grace in the midst of what you do in your workplace? Where are you reaching out to that coworker who is struggling? Where are you reaching out to the person sitting in the pew right next to you? Where are you in the midst of offering grace, not simply because I'm going to look good today, but Miss Peggy, I'm going to offer grace to you throughout the year. And it may be hard for me to do it sometimes. I may struggle sometimes, and you and I may not agree on the same subjects, but you know what? I'm going to sit with you because that is the grace I am called to give. In this Lenten season, I hope we realize
that we cannot forget what has happened in Flint. We cannot forget what has happened in an Islamic mosque in New Zealand. We cannot forget the struggles of our Chicago children to get a decent and fair education. We cannot forget that in this day of economic might, that there are so many folks who are in poverty without food to eat, clothes on their back. We cannot forget that we are called to offer grace. And I'm not talking about just with your wallet. I'm talking about with our person. For this farmer to go and care for this tree for a year was a personal investment. This was not something he could pass on to someone else. This farmer had to make the very commitment that he was talking about himself, herself. Because we don't know if the farmer was male or female. We know it's a farmer. So I want to be careful with that phrase. But are we willing to make that personal commitment individually for grace for someone else who is in our journey, who is on our path, who is feeling like they are barren as a fig tree, that nobody loves them, that nobody cares about them, that nobody will visit them in the hospital, nobody will walk with them when they're in the midst of the jail cell, nobody will lift them up when they feel like they can't go on? Are we willing to offer that sort of grace, but not just right now, but we offer that grace for a lifetime? Looking for grace. Where have you experienced it? Where have you felt it? Where have you needed it? I hope to be grace to you. I hope to be grace to you. And I cannot read your mind. I'm going to be honest about that. But I certainly can ask you how you're doing. And I can certainly, when you tell me, I can listen with the honesty and humbleness of my heart, and I can offer whatever I can. But if I miss it, which I might, just tell me. And I promise to journey with you. I promise to laugh with you and to cry with you and to talk with you. I promise to do it not just the moment, but for a time yet to come. I want to be that farmer that says, I will spread grace and love all around the roots of your tree, all around the roots of who you are, so that you might grow in the way and the walk and the love and the compassion of God that God has called you to. Not what I want you to be, but what God has called you to be. I want to be that farmer that stands up to the landowner. I want to be that farmer that stands up to the politician. I want to be that farmer that stands up to those who have control and power over water, over electricity, and say, it just ain't so. Just give me a little time to walk with them, to work with them, to plant goodness around them, to help till the soil so they might grow into what God has called them to be. That's the challenge for you and me. That is the challenge. Looking, seeking, and being grace. Amen.